Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Broken Money, published in Spanish as Dinero Roto Porque Nuestro Sistema Financiero Está Fallando y Cómo Podemos Mejorarlo, is a nonfiction analysis of monetary systems, financial infrastructure, and the historical evolution of money. Lynn Alden approaches the subject through the lens of technology, arguing that money is not just a neutral medium of exchange, but a system shaped by communication, settlement speed, state power, and institutional design. The book traces the path from commodity monies such as shells and gold to bank deposits, central banking, fiat currency, and newer digital forms such as bitcoins, stablecoins, and central bank digital currencies. Its purpose is explanatory rather than promotional. It tries to give readers a framework for understanding why modern money works the way it does, where it breaks down, and what kinds of trade-offs different monetary systems create for savings, sovereignty, privacy, and international commerce. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money is a technology that changed with faster communication and settlement. A central idea in the book is that money should be understood as a technology, not merely as a symbol or legal abstraction. Alden links major monetary shifts to improvements in communication and settlement, showing how each era of money reflected the practical limits of its time. Shells, metal coinage, paper claims, bank deposits, and digital assets are presented as responses to the same underlying problem: how to transfer value reliably across distance and time. This framing matters because it explains why no single form of money is universally best. A medium that works well for local daily transactions may fail for long-distance trade, and a system that supports fast digital movement may introduce new forms of surveillance or policy control. By organizing monetary history around technology, the book gives readers a more concrete way to compare monetary forms than standard debates about inflation alone. Secondly, why most national currencies lose value and remain confined within borders. The book argues that most currencies depreciate over time and circulate mainly within their own jurisdictions, which creates hidden friction in global commerce. This is not presented as a temporary flaw, but as a structural feature of the international monetary order. Alden emphasizes that people and businesses often face conversion costs, capital controls, and settlement barriers when dealing across borders, making the world economy less seamless than it appears. In that sense, the global system functions partly like a patchwork barter network, where national monies do not fully interoperate. The explanation also highlights the difference between local monetary convenience and long-term savings quality. A currency can be useful for wages and taxes while still being weak as a store of value. This distinction helps readers understand why saving can be much easier in some countries than in others, and why monetary stability is tied not only to economics, but also to geography and political institutions. Thirdly, how banks and central banks create money and redistribute power. Another major theme is the institutional machinery behind modern money. The book explains how commercial banks and central banks do not merely move existing money around. They actively create and allocate it through lending, reserve structures, and policy operations. Alden uses this to show that money creation is inseparable from questions of distribution because credit does not reach all people equally or neutrally. Access to banking, borrowing terms, and monetary policy can advantage some sectors while burdening others through inflation, asset price effects, or debt dependence. This analysis also clarifies why monetary debates are often political even when they appear technical. The system influences who gets early access to new money, who absorbs losses, and how risks are socialized. By unpacking these mechanisms, the book helps readers see central banking not as a background institution, but as a core part of the power structure that shapes modern economies. Fourthly, Bretton Woods, the petrodollar, and debt as pillars of the post-war order. The book situates today's monetary system within the broader geopolitical history of Bretton Woods and the dollar-centered order that followed it. Rather than treating finance as separate from international relations, Alden shows how reserve currencies, trade settlement, and energy markets became intertwined with American power after World War II. The discussion of the petrodollar and debt helps explain why the U.S. dollar occupies such a dominant role globally and why other countries often organize policy around access to dollar liquidity. This part of the book is important because it connects abstract money mechanics to state capacity, trade imbalance, and geopolitical leverage. Readers gain a clearer view of how debt can support growth while also creating fragility, especially when large systems depend on confidence, rollover, and continued demand for a reserve currency. The result is a broader picture of modern finance as an international order, not just a domestic banking system. Lastly, Bitcoin, stablecoins, and digital currencies as competing answers to broken money. The final major theme is the rise of digital monetary alternatives and the trade-offs they introduce. Alden examines Bitcoin as a potential answer to the weaknesses of depreciating fiat systems, especially for people who want portable savings and less dependence on traditional intermediaries. She also considers stablecoins and central bank digital currencies as separate paths forward, each with different implications for usability, control, and privacy. The book does not treat these technologies as identical substitutes. Instead, it uses them to compare what different monetary designs optimize censorship resistance, price stability, state oversight, or transactional efficiency. This makes the digital money discussion more useful than a simple pro-crypto or anti-crypto argument. Readers are encouraged to think in terms of functions and trade-offs. The deeper issue is not whether a new technology exists, but whether it improves the monetary system for saving, transacting, and preserving individual autonomy in a globally connected economy. In conclusion, Dinero Roto will be most valuable for readers who want a serious, structured explanation of how money works rather than a surface-level overview of inflation, Bitcoin, or banking. It is especially relevant for people interested in macroeconomics, financial history, technology, monetary policy, and the relationship between money and political power. The book is useful because it connects several subjects that are often treated separately: banking mechanics, currency depreciation, reserve currency geopolitics, and digital payment innovation. That breadth is one of its main distinctions, compared with narrower books on inflation or cryptocurrencies. It offers a systems-level framework that helps readers understand why the monetary environment feels unstable and why different reforms produce different winners and losers. Its strength is not that it takes a simplistic position, but that it shows how money changes shape behavior, sovereignty, savings, and freedom. For readers who want a rigorous foundation for evaluating the future of fiat money, Bitcoin, and digital finance, it stands out as a broad and disciplined guide. If you would like to support Lynn Alden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.